her mouth. She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too.
As discussed yesterday on the show, it was Mark Chimura's final show for about 2 weeks. Going on a little tour of Europe. If we get pictures, we will certainly share said pictures of Chewy and Lederhosen. Like, if we actually get those, we will share those. So Chewy is out. Jen is in, well, she was in Lubbock yesterday. I can't remember where she is today. She's working on a bunch of different stories for ESPN and College Game Day. And look, this is just the way it's going to be. I'm missing tomorrow. So we're just going to have a new, just kind of a rotating cast of characters coming through over the next couple of weeks as, you know, Chewy's going to be out. And you know, again, the football season, so Jen's got a lot of stuff she's got to do with College Game Day. So today, our cousin sub of the day, from Mr. Irrelevance, the producer of KBN, and my co-host on Green Bay Game Day, he is Alex Strofe.
Oh, wow.
But you were expecting
Josh. I was expecting
the air horn. You were expecting Joshy to play the air horn.
I was expecting the Everybody's very excited for me to be here. Shut up, Josh. Good morning, Gabriel.
I was
good to
say,
see you.
You work with him on Mr. Irrelevance. You were expecting him to, like, pump you up? When's the last time Josh pumped you up?
Well, first off, that's never happened once.
Exactly. He's ready with everything back there.
Hotkey happy back there. Good morning. Good to be here. Thanks for the invite. I'm very excited about everything going on.
What do you mean? Just excited in general, or?
Well, yeah, you know, my general state is pretty elated most of the time.
Yeah.
And the Green Bay Packers, in my humble opinion, are the best team in the National Football League. In my also humble opinion, the Chicago Bears are the worst team in the National Football League. So that doubles up my happiness in terms of the NFL. In the MLB, the Milwaukee Brewers are the best team in baseball, and our buddy Jeff Levering is going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. I am a very happy dude right now, except for the fact that Josh is already pissing me off and we are 60 seconds into the show.
I mean, I am excited to see how this dynamic works, because not only are you in today, like, you're going to get kind of, I think, be the go-to guy if on days where Jen happens to be out, and she's out today, so you're in with me. She's out on Friday, as she typically is. So I'm guessing we get to do this a couple more times throughout the course of the next 2 weeks.
As long as I say yes, and dependent on how Josh acts and behaves.
That's the emptiest threat. It's the emptiest threat I've ever heard.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
It's the emptiest threat ever.
Yeah, you're right.
The emptiest threat of all time.
To answer your question, yeah, I'll be here, Ben.
Okay, what excites you most about the Green Bay Packers through 2 weeks?
The defense. It has to be the defense. And, you know, it's something you and I have talked about at length on Green Bay Game Day, and obviously you guys have talked about it here on Jen Game and Chewy. But it's the first time in my life, because, you know, I really wasn't coherent / alive for the Reggie White days, where this team has a true, true, true game record on defense.
Wait,
right?
So how old? What year were you born?
I was born in 98.
Okay, so you really, I mean, I guess Reggie,
I didn't see the Super Bowl, yeah.
Reggie won Defensive Player of the Year in 98.
Yeah. So not coherent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Clay Matthews had two really good seasons, but he ain't Micah Parsons.
No. Right?
He was never at that level. And, you know, specifically over the last decade and a half, there's been so much frustration with the defensive coordinators in Green Bay. And finally, they have a guy where it's looking more and more realistic as we get deeper into this 2025 season, that they might not have him very long in Jeff Halfley. He might go be a head coach next year, depending on how things go this year. And so far, it's really good. They look like a completely dominant force. So the defense is what fires me up the most, and obviously the addition of Micah Parsons. But it's something we floated as an idea, and through 2 weeks, it has been proven as a fact. And that is, I think they have a game record on every level of defense. And Parsons, Cooper, and Xavier McKinney, who was an All-Pro last year, Edgerrin Cooper looks phenomenal through the first 2 weeks of the season. He's quick. He's all over the field. He leads the team in tackles. And it feels like, you know, at any point, he's right there. And obviously, when it comes to getting after the quarterback, something the Packers did not a super great job of last year. They did it inconsistently. It feels like quarterbacks have no time this year. And they've played two really good quarterbacks, or good quarterbacks. People view these guys as two of the best quarterbacks in the NFC, and Jared Goff and Jaden Daniels, very different quarterbacks, and the Packers have completely shut them out. These are two offenses in the Lions, who put up 52 points, by the way, this week.
Them putting up 52 points made me feel better about the Packers' defense.
Agreed, right? It felt like the Packers won on Sunday, and they didn't play. But you watched a team they dominated, a team that had no answers for their defense just a week ago, put up 52 points. And again, I know it's against the lowly Bears. I don't think they're any good this year. But
I don't think that's not a strong take.
No, I know it's not. But I just want to say it again because I don't like them. Yes, oh, definitely. So all in all, it's the defense. But also, one thing that I'm really enjoying seeing through 2 weeks is it feels like the offense has kind of gotten rid of that they're allergic to fast starts bugaboo from a year ago. I know they didn't score on their first drive against Washington, but a quick three and out, thus the defense being so good. Then they get the ball back and score on I think it was a 96-yard drive.
Yeah, 90-plus-yard drive.
On their second possession. So I think Jordan Love's looking like he's ready to take that quote-unquote next step.
I look at Micah Parsons, because again, everybody's trying to rush and try to find that comparison. Oh, he's like Reggie. I mean, not really, because he is in that they play the same position, and obviously the one stat that everybody loved to repeat was the first 4 years, 12-plus sacks, two guys to ever do it. It's Reggie and Micah.
Yeah.
Reggie was already Hall of Famer. Like, he was already established by the time he came to the Packers. And again, he was 32 years old and still had a lot left in the tank because that's how legendary he was. So I look at him as kind of a combination of Reggie and Charles Woodson.
Sure.
In that, like, Micah Parsons has had a great start to his career. He's not a Hall of Famer yet. If he's going to be a Hall of Famer, it's because what he does with the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Woodson got off to a decent start. And again, Charles is different. And we look at him we look back at him differently. He wasn't a first day of free agency guy. The Packers signed Charles Woodson in like April, May. Like, they waited because he was waiting to find the best offer he could and settled on the Packers. But then he became a Hall of Famer because of what he did for the Green Bay Packers. And as much as people, you know, hashtag fire Dom Capers. Like, Dom is, he completely unleashed what Charles Woodson eventually became. Like, unlocked Charles Woodson into the best player he could possibly be in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a combination of, yeah, he's a little established, like Reggie was established, but because he's so young, if he becomes an all-time great the way that Charles Woodson did, he's doing that as a member of the Green Bay Packers. Like, that's what's exciting to me, is it is just going to be the next 3 years. We'll see what happens with the $60 million cap hit looming, you know, in 2028. But the next 3 years, with him being a reasonable contract, I'm really excited to see how the Packers handle that. I'm excited to see, because he has been infectious. I have never seen a Packers defense run around and make plays like this. Like, I don't know about you, but there have been times where I've watched, like, the Ravens defense. You're like, hey, do they have 12 or 13 guys on the field? How is it possible that this many guys are around the football at all times?
Yeah.
At all times.
Yeah.
There are always Packers defenders on my screen when I'm watching. I don't know if the Packers, and I disqualify 96. You weren't alive for it. I was 10 years old. So I think my memories as a 10-year-old are just become skewed of that. And I've told Chewy that, but even though that's probably the best Packers defense of my lifetime, I don't remember a defense that was this fast and athletic. The Packers had athleticism in 96, but they were a smart team. They were a veteran team, especially on defense, especially across the defensive line, because it wasn't just Reggie. It was Sean Jones, Santana Dotson, all pretty veteran guys at that point in their careers. You had sprinkled in some of those guys like Eugene Robinson in the secondary for the Packers. This is the fully realized potential of Brian Gutekunst and his, hey, we're just going to be young. Because especially on defense, defense is a young man's game. Defense is 100% a young man's game, and they are young, athletic, fast, and just great all around at every level.
So fast, by the way. I mean, they have so many dudes, and you know, you mentioned this before. It just feels like every play against Washington and Detroit, there's like five guys at the ball. Nobody can do anything.
If one guy misses a tackle, it doesn't matter. Because it's, you haven't seen, and it's going to happen. Eventually, it's going to happen. Well, I guess I shouldn't say it because Quay kind of whiffed
on
Zach Ertz. That wasn't good. But for the most part, when one guy's there, if he whiffs on the tackle, there's three guys behind him just waiting to clean up the play. And it's just, it's a style of defense that I wish every team could play, but it's very the obvious thing, they can't.
Here's the thing about this defense. They're only going to get better.
Because Micah's only been playing half the plays.
Bingo. And you can tell the difference when he's on and off the field. Now, they're still a good defense, and I think we've talked about this plenty prior to the trade.
We thought
they were going to be a good defense.
They were a good defense last year. And shout out, again, this is where Jeff Hafley, because he was able to manipulate the numbers, I guess is the best way to put it, in terms of rushing with four.
Yeah.
Because of the different creative blitzes he would do and then dropping somebody back into coverage. So it wouldn't necessarily be the four down linemen rushing, but just four guys would be rushing, so you can kind of manipulate some of the numbers doing that. But Jeff Hafley, when you have a player like Micah Parsons, and again, this is why I have always been critical of the Packers the last 2 years of not having enough difference makers. They got a lot of solid guys, and that's this defense still has a lot of solid players.
Yeah.
A lot of people think we hate Rashawn Gary on the show. We don't. Our problem always with Rashawn Gary, because the Chewy theory, and I buy into it fully, if you want to win a championship, A players have to play like A players. They have to. And then you have to have some Bs, like a B player to play like an A player. Cs play like Bs. Like, everybody has to elevate their game. But the As, the guys that you're paying and the ones that you believe in, have to play like A players. They paid Rashawn Gary like an A player. He had not played like an A player prior to these, you know, at least for an entire season. And hopefully he can actually perform like an A player with Micah Parsons next to him. But Micah is just changing the game for everybody else around them. And he's elevating the game. And it's what a difference maker can and should do for a team when they're that good. Just elevating everybody else and making everything else around them make sense. Like, the Packers defense just makes so much more sense when you have a game wrecker the level of Micah Parsons.
Yeah, I see a couple people chiming in on YouTube. You know, the thing they're fascinated to see here in the next couple of weeks is they've won both of these games at home. And sure, there's probably some reality to that, that, you know, there's a little bit extra juice. You have the Micah Parsons introduction week one, and you completely slam the door shut on Detroit from the get-go. But what's exciting is, hey, Gabe, where do they play on Sunday again?
They play in the Dog Pound. Woof, woof.
Yeah, something like that.
Bark, bark.
Yeah, that's probably more like it. Yeah, the Browns aren't very good, nor are they ever. So seeing them on the road in Cleveland will be fun. And then the one I've really got circled is next week when they go to Dallas. It's Sunday Night Football. Energy's high. It's the Micah return game, so there's going to be the Boo Birds. And then you get the bye week. So the next 2 weeks are going to be really fun to see them go on the road and do this. But, Gabe, if you look at the schedule, there is a very realistic possibility this team could go 8-0 heading into that Philly game week 10 on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Now, they're going to lose eventually. I'm not going to sit here and tell you they're going 17-0, despite the fact I do think they're legitimate Super Bowl contenders. I'm not going to go that far. But it's hard to find the losses. It is, prior to that week 10 game.
Yeah, and the losses happen. Like, they're going to sneak up on you, and they're going to bite you.
And could they lose to Dallas in a couple of weeks on Sunday Night Football? Yeah, they could.
I would be embarrassed if they lost to Dallas.
Embarrassed?
Dallas is a bad team.
You think?
They stink. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Have you not watched Russell Wilson, like, the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years?
Oh, he looked great against that defense.
And he had a career high in passing yards. That team stinks.
Okay, fair enough.
They're bad.
Bad.
Yeah. The Cowboys are bad.
I think they're okay.
No, the Cowboys are bad.
I'm not going to sit here and we'll do power rankings later. I'm not going to put them in the top 10 by any means.
No, that's a bad football team.
Interesting. There's a couple sneaky bad football teams, though.
Yeah. I mean, through 2 weeks, like, that defense can't stop a nosebleed.
Yeah, correct.
Like,
Kenny Clark had a good day, though. Okay.
I mean, how, in the way that a defensive tackle can have a good day when you give up 37 to Russell Wilson? Like, what are we talking about?
But wait a minute. Maybe Russell Wilson just reinvigorated.
No.
Reborn.
That offensive line for New York stinks.
Yeah.
He was running for his life against Washington the week before. He was 17 of 37 the week before. Looked washed. Looked like everybody was going, probably should start Jackson Dart. And then he goes and sets a career high.
You're furthering my point. If you look at the schedule prior to November 10th, can you find a loss?
With Joe Burrow out, it's tougher.
Yeah, Cincinnati certainly could have been a shootout.
And again, and a lot of people, I know my guy Mark is on the Carblues Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. Hey, these two games have been at home, sure. But it's not like they're playing tough teams on the road. I mean, maybe the Steelers, but the Steelers didn't look any good on Sunday. They didn't look great. Like, the Cardinals on the road?
Yeah, they're 2-0, but they've beaten the Panthers and the Saints, who very likely could have the top two picks.
Yeah, the game, and again, Jake Browning doesn't really scare me. I think he's a pretty decent backup quarterback in this league and might be able to keep the Bengals' heads above water in that, that they can be around 500. And then when Joe Burrow returns the way that Aaron Rodgers did a couple years ago when he broke his collarbone, you know, we're okay. Now they got a chance because they have Joe Burrow late in the season. But I mean, maybe one of those road games, maybe at the Steelers, if they're rolling, it kind of gets away from them. Because the other thing is, I don't see a letdown this early in the season. Yeah, they're playing that great, but I feel them being invigorated by the fact that Micah Parsons is going to be playing more in these next two games. Like, Mike is going to be fired up to return to Dallas. I don't think the Cowboys are necessarily fired up to play Micah, because it's not like Micah's the one who decided to leave. I mean, ultimately, I guess he decided to leave, but Jerry pushed him out the door. I don't think there's any, oh, Micah turned his back on us coming out of that locker room. Certainly he's going to be booed by the people in attendance at Jerry's World, but I don't think the Cowboys have extra juice to play Micah. Micah's got extra juice to play the Cowboys. Like, the next two games before the bye, I just don't see that letdown, because you're getting a fully, presumably, fully unleashed Micah Parsons next week, and then Micah Parsons in a revenge game to Dallas. I think they're 4-0 going into the bye.
It's nice being a Packers fan.
Oh, it's so good being a Packers fan right now. And we're going to continue to talk about the green and gold. Jason Wilde joins us next. But I do need to tell you about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Because when a customer chooses Pella, one of the most important things to them is honoring that trust and commitment. Because they understand that inviting somebody into your home and then kind of walking through the different process, like I did. I invited Pella into my home. We went through the process. They took a look at my windows. Yeah, you're probably good there. But look, hey guys, I need a new front door. What are my options? It can be overwhelming. A lot of different options, a lot of customizable options, but the team at Pella is always there to walk you through the process to make sure you're going to be happy with whatever you're looking for, whether that's the windows, whether that's the doors, because their vision is to be the company that people want to do business with. If you order by the end of the month, 0% interest for up to 5 years, visit PellaWI.com today. And when you use Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, make sure you tell them that me, Gabe Neitzel, sent you.
Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros in Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Our cousin sub of the day today is Alex Stroth. Good morning, Jason.
A different twist on Dude Tuesday.
Yes. Same crew for Dude Friday, by the way.
Nice. So, wow, so what a dynamic duo.
Jason, the Packers right now have two open roster. Well, they will have two open roster spots. They have an open roster spot for putting Brenton Cox on injured reserve. Whenever they decide to put Jaden Reed, that'll open up a second spot. Is it safe to assume that one of those spots is going to go to Mecole Hardman and then he ends up being the primary returner?
Yes. In fact, I think I was talking to Malik Heath yesterday, and Malik, I love Malik. He's got no filter. And so I asked him about, you know, obviously you guys are different type of players, but you all have to elevate your game with Bird, as they call Jaden Reed out. And he just gave it up right away that Mecole Hardman was going to be brought up off the practice squad. And, you know, he's been in the league a long time, so he can handle that. And I'm just going to do my part. But I was like, okay, well, that's kind of what I figured, but I appreciate you confirming that for me. So yeah, that's one. And look, the weird thing, and it's not a big deal at all. It's not like it matters, but like Goody has never had a problem with leaving either roster spots open or holding off on IRing someone for no real reason whatsoever. Like, remember, like, he didn't IR Watson after Watson tore his ACL in the finale against the Bears, in advance of the playoff game.
I guess I don't know enough about IR, Jason, but like in baseball, if somebody gets hurt, but they don't play in a couple of games, they can retroactive the move, right? So I pulled a hamstring. They didn't really know how tough it was. I don't play for 3 days. Oh, well, we're going to put him on IL now, but the move is retroactive to 3 days. So it's like he's been 3 days on IL and I can come off, you know, whenever. Can you retroactive in football, or does the IR clock, because for Jaden Reed, they're expecting him to come back. When does that clock start of how long he needs to be on IR?
Yeah, but his injury is...
That's longer than going to be longer than 4 weeks, yeah. Right?
Yeah, and it's only the 4 weeks that matter, so it, like, for instance, I would say this, though, like, the fact that they didn't IR
Zach Tom.
Or Banks or Bo Melton would indicate that none of those guys are viewed as longer-term guys, so... Because then you do. Then in that situation, you absolutely want to get something resolved right away, right? You want to get them on IR to start the clock immediately. And in this case, they haven't done that. Like, I know Tom Silverstein had a piece about how Zach Tom's oblique is torn and it could be a while. But the fact that they didn't IR him, now that doesn't mean anything either. Like, he could still spend four games on the active roster without being on IR, and they could just say, well, we can carry it. It's not a big deal. But usually those are kind of the breadcrumbs we try to follow to figure out how long a guy's been going to be out. And we still don't have much clarity other than to say, look, these guys must not be that long-term.
Jason, rumor mill swirling yesterday. The Packers aren't going to trade their backup quarterback, right? Malik Willis will be a Packer going forward.
So it's funny because I spent some time with Malik last week, and then I asked Jordan about him, and the angle that I was going to write was that if everything goes according to plan, we're not going to see Malik again other than in mop-up duty of blowouts, right? And it was, I mean, I was, and then I didn't get the story written before the opener. And I was like, well, they started 2-0. I'm not going to write about the backup quarterback now. But now there is an angle to be had here, right? Like, there is a story to be written, which is, you know, and I think you can look at this two ways. I think on the one hand, you look at it and say, well, the Packers have an asset. There are some desperate teams that need help. He is, if you can get a king's ransom for, let's say, a second-round pick for him, you have to do it, right? And I saw they had Dorian Thompson, whatever his other last
Robinson.
Name is.
Yeah, DTR.
In for a visit, yeah. So that's, on the one hand, hey, we have something of value, we could get something for him, and we can roll the dice. I would say from the flip side, oh, my God, all these teams have already lost their starting quarterback for varying extended periods. We should really hold on to our guy in case we need our guy, because we're better off than most of these other teams. So it really depends on how Goody decides to view it.
I mean, I can't imagine that they would get what the Packers, what Goody would want for Malik, right? Like, nobody's actually going to be that desperate. Because I know the Bengals were sniffing around, but he would just be the backup quarterback there. They like Jake Browning.
Right.
He's been somebody who has played for them and won some games for them in the past when Joe Burrow's gone down before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, to me, teams can sniff around all they want, unless you're probably going to make, I mean, Malik's probably not going to go on a go anywhere unless, A, he's the starter, and B, I'm with you, Jason. Like, even if you offer a third-round pick, I don't think that's going to be good enough.
I would agree. By the way, just for the record, I had told Josh that I had to be out by 7:30, but there's a bunch of construction on our way to the groomer, which the dogs are looking at me like, I hate you so much, Dad, taking us to the groomer. So I'm nowhere near there. So I've got another 5 minutes in case that changes your game plan for our conversation. Or maybe you just want to be on time for once and get me out at 7:30.
I mean, Jason, do you guys ever want to be on time on your show?
No.
Yeah,
no,
so we don't want to be on time. We're cool.
Let's start the 10 o'clock right. Hour at 10:42.
Yes, exactly. I'm so proud of you guys. So look, I don't I don't think what the Packers would deem as worthwhile to trade such a valuable asset, I don't see that as them being able to get it. So there's no real point to try, right? Now, if for some reason you were to get some offer you couldn't refuse, then maybe that changes the calculus. But to me, the whole point of what you're seeing around the league is, oh, my God, what are we going to do? Like, Carson Wentz? Are you serious? And by the way, they added him at the end of camp.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It's not like he's even been in their system. And again, I love Kevin O'Connell, man. Like, I think he's – I would love to play for him. But I even as brilliant as he is and having played quarterback in the league, I am – and again, look, Malik Willis did it, right, in roughly the same time frame, maybe a little bit shorter. He came in and played well, and they won two games after being added at the end of camp. But – I think that's an anomaly, the exception that proves the rule.
Well, and I think he was also just so different, Jason, right? Like, they changed the game plan. They're running the ball more. He's more athletic than somebody like Carson Wentz. And I think that worked out in the Packers' favor of, oh, hey, we can kind of simplify things, do some read option stuff, do a couple of passes off that, and we're going to make this as simple as possible. That's just tougher when your quarterback is not as athletic as Malik Willis, and I don't think anybody's going to confuse Carson Wentz as some sort of tremendous athlete at quarterback.
No, and look, I also, you know, because Joshy, I had seen it already, but Joshy sent me the tweet from Pelissero about them working out DTR. And sometimes that's just, hey, he might be better than Clayton Toon as our third guy on the practice squad. So I don't know if that's necessarily a breadcrumb that they're shopping Malik or interested in trading Malik. But I am curious. There's a theory that you want your backup to be a similar player to your starter, so that way you don't have to change much if he has to play. And I'm kind of from the other thought, like you just mentioned. Like, if you got a guy that's totally different, it completely junks the opponent's game plan, because suddenly now they're playing a totally different style quarterback.
Yeah. Jason, before we let you go, is there something you haven't seen that you're looking forward to seeing here as we're through 2 weeks? Because it seems like this team's been dominant through the first two weeks of the season against the Lions and Commanders. But is there anything from this team you're still waiting to see or get some proof on?
Yeah, I'm the thing that I'm intrigued by, and I asked LaFleur about it yesterday, is how much they've thrown downfield with kind of mixed results, right? Like, the two throws downfield to Matthew Golden. Like, I was talking to Golden for a couple minutes yesterday, and I'm like, you know, look, I understand you're the first-round pick and the first one at the position in 23 years, so everybody's, you got this microscope on you. But I'm like, he's got two catches. And so everyone is like, well, are they going to get this guy involved more? And is having readout going to give him more opportunities? And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, if Jordan throws two better balls, this guy's sitting there with 120 receiving yards on two huge touchdowns, right? One would have been 92 yards, and the other one would have been 30-something, I think. Like, and it's a game of inches for a reason, right? And those were both close. Like, he underthrows the one to the goal line, and then he overthrows the deep ball when they're on the 8-yard line. Like, you're looking at Matthew Golden, for instance, completely differently, right? So, but you know, they hit on the deep ball to Dobbs in the opener. You know, you could argue that the 39-yard touchdown that Reed got hurt on, that's obviously a deep ball too. So it's not like they haven't had any success in completing them. But I'm super curious about what they're trying to do there, because, you know, to Matt LaFleur's point, you know, when you do that, even when you do it and the passes are incomplete, it still has an impact, right? And I think they're a little frustrated by the fact that both teams came in and said, look, we are not letting Josh Jacobs beat us. And they really want to get the run game going. And I wonder if the way to that is to be able to loosen it up by going down the field more.
Appreciate the time, Jason. Enjoy the groomers.
No one here, other than Paula, who's happy then when they are fresh and clean. No one here enjoys the groomers. I don't like being away from the dogs for 5 hours. They hate going here. So there will be no one enjoying the groomers.
Do you ever take the picture? Because I've seen a ton of them online, Jason, of like after they go to the groomers, and either it's a bad haircut or like it's just like too much has been taken off and the dog just looks miserable. Like this dog has the look on its face. Is that the way your dogs look when they get out of the groomers?
No, they are overjoyed because Dad has finally come back for them, and they're I'm a bit of a grudge holder, as you
what?
Guys
no.
may be aware. Yeah, I know that comes as a surprise to you. I appreciate the feigning surprise to me, but they're mad, but they're happy to see me. Thank God you've come to rescue us. But knock on wood, they do a really nice job here. So, but they don't sell ice cream, so I can't mention them by name. So I'm happy to see them, but it's going to be I can tell you this. I wish I was on video while I was driving, because Stella has been side-eyeing me ever since I mentioned to Josh where we were going. Like, she knows what that word means, and if we could swear on the radio, I would tell you what she's thinking.
All right, well, we appreciate that. Best of luck to your dogs at the groomers. Maybe that works better.
I appreciate you guys, and I will talk to you later in the week.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Are you looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner? Fifth Third Bank has been shaping the future for businesses for 167 years and for the last 15 right here in Milwaukee. We offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making, and extensive experience to help you navigate the ever-changing business landscape with your business in mind. At Fifth Third, we're big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, yet empowered to make local decisions, build strong community connections. Experience the commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The big hurt.
I heard that's like, eh.
Ron and the Keywagon say you guys should slow down before you take on a sponsor.
Here I am.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Quick note here, just wanted to pass along. Happened to see it as we were talking to Jason Wilde, but the actor Robert Redford has passed away at 89 years old. So that news making it all the way around social media. And 89 years old for Robert Redford. Whew, did not realize he was that old, because he's always looked good.
I don't want to put Strofe in a bad spot.
Oh, here we go. I knew this was coming.
Do you know anything about Robert Redford?
So I do know the name. I have seen all the President's Men.
Oh, okay. If I had to guess,
that's the only movie I can.
I would have never pegged you getting that one.
No.
So here's the thing. Now hold on.
The only movie he saw Robert Redford in was the Captain America movie that he was in.
Oh, sure.
I assumed that would be like the only one that he would have seen Robert Redford in.
I took a film class in college, and All the President's Men was one of the required viewings.
Did you watch all the movies you had to watch?
Absolutely.
In this?
No.
Wait, so you didn't even put in the requisite requirements for class?
You couldn't even bother to put in the effort
to watch the movies?
It was by far the easiest college course I took.
Well,
It was twice a week. It was twice a week, and there was two and a half hour classes. I think it was like a Tuesday, Thursday. Let's say, I don't remember the exact days. Tuesday, it would be literally come to class, bring a blanket, bring your popcorn, do whatever you want. We're watching a movie. And then Thursday, there was some sort of project, whether it was an essay, whether it was a paper, whether it was a presentation, talking about the lighting, right? Like, whatever. It was that class. I then very early on realized the professor wasn't taking attendance on Tuesday. So I viewed that as an opportunity to just sleep in. So I didn't show up to the movies. And then there's this great thing called, you know, the internet, where I could get the summary of the movie and pretty much knock out anything I needed to. So I stopped attending, but All the President's Men, I think, was like the third movie we did. So I was still showing up at that point.
Alex Strofe, too lazy to even watch movies.
Lazy is probably the wrong word.
No, you just don't like the sound of it.
I feel it's the
good
accurate
pop,
word.
Good pop. Yeah. Okay, fine. Lazy. I would just say I was choosing other things
to
do.
You were sleeping in. That is the definition of lazy.
You just said I decided to sleep in. That was a part of the explanation that you offered up.
Yes, but keep in mind this was 2.5 hours, so, you know, maybe
to watch a movie.
But hold on. But maybe I would sleep in 30 minutes into the class and I would get up, start my day, and then I'd go do other things.
All right. Can we put it on the Infinity Exteriors poll? Is Alex Stroff lazy because he didn't even bother to go to his movie class while in college?
You have to keep in mind this is 7 years ago, Gabe.
Like, it is a movie class. It was literally a movie class.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to go and watch a movie. You have to participate. You're just watching a movie.
I never took a movie class, but I would imagine most of the movies, if not all of them, would probably fall into the classic territory, which would then more likely that...
So I could tell you which one I definitely skipped, and I've never seen this movie to this day because it just didn't sound appealing to me is why I skipped it. Have you seen the first Tron movie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they're coming up with a third one.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, when we were at Marcus Theaters the other week, I saw an advertisement for it. But I... I didn't have any interest in that. So I just didn't go. And I never watched it. That was one of the movies I just didn't do anything for.
So you approached class with, is this going to be interesting to me?
Yeah. I mean, that's how I approach life. Is that naive?
Yes. You're there to learn.
Sometimes you got to show up even when you don't want to. Okay, it's the lesson
here. You think I was going to physics labs? Like, I'm excited to learn about this.
Well, I feel like physics is a bad example because physics kind of rocks, although I don't understand it that well.
So how do you know if it rocks?
I mean, goodness gracious.
Well, the idea of physics rocks. You learn a lot of interesting things, I would anticipate.
You experience school way different than I think everyone else.
Yes, and that probably is also why I had a way lower GPA than everybody else.
So Colin is actually trying to stand up for you on the Carbos Talking text line. Every college kid would do the same as Alex. Obviously, that's not true, Colin, because if that was true, the class wouldn't exist because nobody else would have showed up on Tuesdays. And if nobody's showing up for the class on Tuesdays, they would have to start to do something to rectify that situation.
I guess I can't say this with full confidence because I didn't show up to Tuesdays. But if I was a betting man, I would bet attendance was a little bit lower on Tuesdays than it was the other day.
Probably. But I'm guessing a lot of other people just think, I can watch this movie on my own time.
Yeah, but I'm like, okay, I stayed up late watching Monday Night Football last night. Do I really want to go watch a movie at 9 a.m.?
The simplest thing ever, man.
Yeah, but okay.
It's literally the simplest thing
ever. But it
was
younger Stroff. If that was presented to me today, and you know, today
I think
I had
you're doing
a
the same thing.
I'm here right now.
Yeah, because this is your job.
Okay, yeah, fair point.
This is your job.
It's a really good point by you, actually.
Something completely different.
It is a little bit different. I am not paying to be there like I was in college. And years later, I'm still paying for it.
This was a complete diversion I was not expecting to get into.
R.I.P. Robert Redford.
Going to have to get in something that I don't want to talk about, but I think we kind of have to talk about. It's a little disappointing. We'll do that coming up next. If you're looking for a new car, truck, or SUV, take the nearest exit. And look, you're not going to have to go far with the 11 different locations that Ewald Automotive has. It's the 2025 Model Year Clearance Pricing Event. Save over $14,000 or get 0% financing on all makes, all models over 720. 25's in stock with model year clearance pricing, and you get the Ewald low price guarantee, which means they're going to beat your best price on a new vehicle by $500 or they'll give you $500 cash. It's only at the Ewald Model Year Clearance Sales Event. When they're gone, they're gone. And with Ewald, it all starts at ewaldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's two things she counts in the house. One of the pictures. Yeah. What do you think the other one is?
Firearms.
Viagra.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you are planning a holiday party, and look, you need to be starting to think about that right now. I understand it's the middle of September. But if you want to get out ahead of that and plan an excellent party, you should be reaching out to Events by Design. Boost culture with captivating corporate events like appreciation parties, brand activations, and more. And reach out to Events by Design, the creative team at Events by Design. They truly enjoy the work that they do. And I have seen firsthand a lot of the different things that they can do, whether it's large scale, with the Buck Soiree last year. Whether it's something smaller, like at our golf outing this year, earlier this summer, they were on one of the holes and they just did walk-up songs that everybody was talking about. I've also seen them assist at the night markets that are happening once a month, just outside of our building here at the 3rd Street Market Hall. So whether it's a big event, little event, it doesn't matter. Events by Design is going to be able to help you and boost that event. So retain top talent by investing in your culture today. Just search online, Events by Design. They design your party. Okay, we avoided this yesterday, and now the Brewers have clarified. Do we have to talk about this?
I think it is our obligation to. A lot of the people in the listener, a lot of the fans are interested in what happened.
So, as I often do, and by often I mean rarely, I'm going to agree with both of you. I don't want to talk about it. We got to talk about it.
So the Brewers clinched a playoff spot on Saturday. Maybe you saw this, maybe you didn't. But they were posting social media videos because they had, it was a classy celebration. A little champagne toast in the locker room. They had the little flutes of champagne sitting out on a table. So it wasn't the raucous, you know, spraying Miller Lite all over everybody. Everybody, you know, got to put the plastic up on the lockers in the clubhouse to protect everything. It was just a little classy celebration. You know, hey, this is the first of hopefully many celebrations that the Brewers are going to have throughout the rest of this month and hopefully into October. And my favorite thing about this, I don't know if you saw the quote from Jackson Churio, who's now 21, can legally participate in the festivities. Apparently doesn't like champagne.
Oh, okay.
It kind of burns his chest a little bit.
Which, understandable.
Yeah, again, it was just a great quote. I found it hilarious. But then there was a video that the Brewers social media team posted. Pat Murphy reading a letter that was presumed to be from, and he said was from, Bob Uecker. Now, at the beginning of the video, he says, hey, I got a letter from Uke today. And I think that, you know, again, with Uke unfortunately passing earlier this year, I think everybody kind of maybe understood it differently, maybe missed the beginning part of that, and then read the letter. And the letter had some very specific parts in it about best road record in baseball, first team to clinch, things of that nature, that had Bob written a stack of letters before he had passed, he wasn't going to know this information, right? And it just became something kind of confusing on mine because, again, those were details in it. Some people really liked it, thinking that Bob had actually written these letters. The Brewers clarified yesterday that they did that Bob did not indeed write these letters. This was just something that Pat Murphy had done to try to feel like Uecker was included. And I feel like this is just something that got away from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It just got away from everybody. I don't think that when Pat Murphy initially wrote the letter that he thought it was going to get out. That correct. This might just stay there. Brewer social media team videotaped it because they do, or you know, recorded it on a phone because that's what the social media team does. And then they post it out there because very obviously, I mean, everybody wants to know and have Bob Uecker content, right? And they just want to ride that out for as long as we can. And it just kind of got away. And a lot of people thought it was weird. A lot of people felt it was icky. I was uncomfortable watching it. I did not make it through. I think it was just a rare miscalculation by the Brewers all the way around, which is why I am choosing to ignore this and pretend it didn't happen.
What makes you so uncomfortable about it?
Because it seems like ultimately what happened was the Brewers were trying to, by putting it out on social media, engagement farm on Uke. And this just felt like when I went to the celebration of life last month, I thought that was incredibly well done. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great. I didn't feel like I was like being manipulated in any way, like emotionally manipulated in any way. Like that was something that everybody wanted to be there for. And understandably so. Like, and the ballpark was packed. Bob Costas did an unbelievable job emceeing. Robin Yount was probably the best speaker of the bunch, but B.A. Yelly before a game having to speak. Like, I thought the entire thing, the video tributes, I thought the whole thing was great. And it was great for the fan base. And it just felt like we were almost being emotionally manipulated by this letter that came out on social media, and that's what made me uncomfortable.
So I think there's good and bad out of this, right? I think the good thing is the ultimate point here in what they were doing at the end of the day is they are trying to keep Uke alive with them, right?
And I understand that. And to me, that should have been a private moment.
Agreed.
That stayed private. Because
that's the bad. I
because
agree.
And there were some videos and some photos that would come out of the Bob celebrations the last couple of years when they had them. And he would go down there and, you know, they'd be pouring the Miller Lite on his head. But it's not like we were necessarily privy to all of that.
Yeah,
there are still some things I think, despite wanting, as a member of the media, wanting as much information out of that clubhouse as possible, there are still moments that should happen behind closed doors. And I feel like that should have been a closed doors moment. And they shouldn't have released the video of him reading it because that's what caused all of the confusion. I think everybody in that locker room maybe realized what was going on, that Pat had written that letter. But when it got out into the public, that's when it lost contain.
Yeah. The one thing, and I've seen people commenting on this, and maybe I'm being naive here, but it feels like it was something that wasn't intended to be taken the way it was and then spiraled out of control. And then probably the management of it from there is where the disappointment can be found from the fan base. Because if you do go back and watch it, what like you said, Pat clearly says, I got a letter today from Uke. That's not possible. So, like, there is a degree there, but the caption left it confusing. And then I think just social media did its thing, and some people added their editorializing that sort of made it take on a degree.
A life of its own.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the first time I watched it, I think it was about a 2-minute video. I got through about the first 40 seconds. I was like, wow, he left a letter, right? Like, for a celebratory moment, and this is the time they're choosing to use it. And then I got further and further in, and I went, wait a minute, this isn't what's going on here. And ultimately, I realized what we landed on. But the lack of clarification on what was actually taking place, to use your term, emotionally manipulated, easy for me to say, fans love that guy, right? He is an absolute icon in the state.
There wasn't a dry eye in all of AmFam Field. 3 weeks ago when they did the celebration of life, because that's how much, and again, baseball broadcasters are just different. Like, if you love your team and you have a broadcaster that's around, I mean, literally for 50 years, the way that Uke was, like, again, you feel like you know him, right? And the most famous Milwaukee Brewer isn't Yount, isn't Molitor, it's Bob Uecker. Like, he is the one that is associated with that team, and it's the person that fans associate with that team because he was so long, he was so personable, and everybody loved him. So I guess, again, I understand wanting more Uecker content for the fan base, but it just, and even if I can't quite put my finger on it, just there were missteps along the way.
Yeah.
And really, I think the Brewers should be applauded for not having any of these missteps along the way. Like, this is really the first misstep in all of this, which, again, is why I'm looking past it. I think it was just, it ended up not working out the way that they wanted.
It broke contain was the term you used that I agree with most, yes. And all in all, it feels a little icky now, but I understand because, what the goal was, though.
Yeah,
and I think
I think I understand what the goal was. It just, it ended up missing the mark.
Yes.
I think everything had very good intentions behind it. I
totally agree with that.
And then it missed the mark.
Yep.
Which is unfortunate.
I agree 100%. Yeah, just it gives you a weird taste in your mouth. But all in all, you know, you love that they are continuing to make sure Uecker is involved with these celebrations and kept along the way, breaking out the picture of him celebrating last year during the celebration, right? That's a great touch. And you know, everybody in that clubhouse misses him, right? So, and there's no doubting that. That's been evident throughout this miraculous season that they're having here now at 91 wins. So, I agreed. I think there's just a series of missteps that snowballed and makes everybody go, okay, that's a little icky. But that was never the intention. There's no ill will here, right?
Yeah.
It's just, it's gotten to a point where they had to make a statement and Murphy had to do an interview last night. And it just makes you go, oh, okay, I'd like to ignore this now.
Yeah, well, we're on to the Angels. But Louis hits us up on the talking text line. And Josh, I know this is what you thought when we talked about this yesterday off the air. When I saw it, I thought you had written the letter. Then Murph added some of the team's accomplishments to the letter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sort of sounded like he was just ad-libbing, because I think he even stumbled over his words a little bit at that point, which which is what made it believable. And like you were just the taking the, well, this could be the case.
Exactly. Because,
right.
Because you just took your own liberties because
right.
you were left to assume what
right.
was going on with
yeah.
with everything that
yeah.
was going on.
And the misstep was probably the captioning of the tweet and not making it clear in it that Pat Murphy wrote this in honor of, as if, you know, Uke wrote it.
And again, I think if everything's up front, it probably doesn't feel as bad. Like, hey, here's
right.
what Pat was trying to do.
Correct.
And that's just ultimately
right.
not happening.
I would have no problem if, you know, it just said, hey, Pat thought he wanted to include Uke
yeah.
in this. So he wrote a letter in his voice to give a message to the guys and sort of bring them all back to, let's be honest, he hit the perfect note.
I was about to say, like, Pat Pat kind of hit the humor on the
yes,
head. Like,
yes.
you know, like the note in there about being the third catcher.
Yes.
Like, you know, get, like, that's, again, Pat had been
nailed,
around
nailed.
Him long enough, like,
yeah.
he understood the dude in his humor. But,
nailed the humor.
So, yeah, and I think that's where it understood. Strofe is also confused about what the magic number means. We'll dive into math with Strofe in 2 minutes. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.